There's been a boom in trade with Asia over the last decade or so, and that's really where the action is, you know, globally. You know, Asia's the trade powerhouse. They're certainly exporting more and more, and their domestic economies are growing so fast, so that's where a great deal of the sort of dynamism in demand is in terms of the world economy. Not to discount the importance, of course, of the Australian-New Zealand markets, but Asia's really where the action is, I think.
In terms of the deal that they've finally come up with, the fact that PNG, Fiji, Vanuatu have all declined to sign for various reasons, what does that leave us with? I mean, what impact is this deal actually going to have on those specific countries who have signed it?
Well, I don't think very much impact at all. I mean, we hear some of the proponents saying it's going to transform the Pacific Island economies. I certainly can't see that happening, given that not much of what the Pacific Islands actually wanted has come through in the agreement. So without Papua New Guinea, Fiji and Vanuatu, the size of the intra-regional free trade area will be massively diminished. Papua New Guinea is the regional powerhouse. Its economy is worth about $21 billion, and total Pacific Island GDP is about $25 billion. It's Papua New Guinea and Fiji together. So without them, the Pacific Island trade area is pretty tiny, and you know, Vanuatu again is a very small economy, but its absence too kind of detracts from the success of the whole agreement.
One area I note that you've picked up on is the question of aid being linked to trade in these negotiations. You've been somewhat critical of Australia and New Zealand over that.
Yeah, aid shouldn't be linked to trade negotiations. If you feel a moral obligation to deliver development assistance to countries that are less fortunate than your own, do so anyway, outside a trade agreement. Many people consider the linking of aid with trade agreements as a form of not societal bribery. It should be an independent objective, separate from what you might perceive as your own commercial interests pursued through a trade agreement. And that said, the amounts of aid actually involved in PACIP Plus are pretty small. Australia and New Zealand have said that they might fund, or they will fund, a fifth of what's called aid for trade, so that's, you know, 20%, and on top of it, they will, Australia will provide $90 million Australian dollars to fund the management and delivery of the work program, while New Zealand will provide $7 million New Zealand dollars. So that's divided between 11 countries. So really, per country, those kind of sums are pretty small, you know, almost meaningless, to be honest. And you've got to line it up against the big emerging donors, which, again, going back to Asia, you know, China is the country that's increasingly dominating aid to the region. And the amounts China's putting in are far, far bigger than that.
Now, your general conclusion, I think, is that whilst this deal probably won't do any harm to trade in the Pacific, it probably won't do too much good, which therefore suggests that all the officials and all the top-level bureaucrats who've been involved in these talks over 8 years have essentially been wasting their time, and they could have been back in their own countries building capacity there.
Yeah, that's definitely what I think. I think sometimes the costs of negotiation are underappreciated, particularly in these small, you know, tiny bureaucracies which have got limited amounts of, you know, public financing available for their own activities. So when I worked, for example, in the Vanuatu Department of Trade quite a while ago, there were only five of us. And usually at one point or another, one of us had to go away to be involved in trade negotiations. You know, so that's a reduction in capacity of your trade department of a fifth. That's a big cost. Not only the cost of flying around and, you know, staying, accommodation, whatever, and other expenses, but simply the absence of the person from the office. The other thing is that trade's really important for these islands because they've got tiny domestic economies. But what comes to be perceived as trade or starts being about trade agreements, which is only really part of the story, as you alluded to, the other half of the story with regards to trade policy should be attending to domestic productive capacity. You know, that's building production sustainably of things that you might have a comparative advantage in for export and for import replacement. The sort of dominance of trade agreements in the whole trade policy discourse tends to displace the much more important activity of just investing and building up production.